May I invite all of us to stand for the reading of the Gospel? The Holy Scripture according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 13 to 35. And God's people say, Glory to Christ, our Savior. Oh, sorry, chapter 24, verses 13. So that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Good morning, church. Please be seated. Come pray with me. Father, we thank you for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which brings us eternal life and gives us eternal life also. Lord, we are also reminded of the words of Mary that says, I have seen the Lord, and grant us great faith, Father, to bring forth your word to others. May your presence this morning and your words continue to embrace us, live in us, nourish us in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Kylie, for reading the passage. This passage alone, this text, is actually one of the most vivid and insightful accounts of our Lord Jesus' appearance after his resurrection. There was a few after that. But before going into the word, I want to share with us a fictional story. So don't worry if your mother-in-law is like that. It's a mother-in-law joke, actually. So I heard... I heard this. That's our family emblem, you see there. So I heard about this man and his wife. They went to Israel, and accompanying them was a very, very difficult to deal with and their ever nagging mother-in-law. And while they were there, sadly, the mother-in-law passed on. And this man, I don't know whether he was celebrating or he was in a state, because he went to the consulate to try to find out how to ship the body back or what can be done. And they were of no help. So he approached this undertaker, who then told him, says, to ship your mother-in-law's body home, it will cost you 5,000. So he just stared at the man, and then he paused. The undertaker paused and then told the man, look, if you want to bury your mother-in-law here, it will only cost $150. And the man thought about it. Ooh, great savings. And then after some time, he told the undertaker, no, I will spend 5,000 or whatever it costs to ship my mother-in-law home, and I will bury her there. And then the undertaker says, you did not hear me. I said only $150 to bury her here. And the man replied, well, a long time ago, a man was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And I cannot take that chance with my mother-in-law. So if you love your mother-in-law, I won't say anything. But there's a lesson here, important lesson about the resurrection of Christ. We know that we just cannot ignore the resurrection of Christ from the dead, because it changed human history, it changed the life of billions, it changed our lives, it transformed us. And it also helped us to be a better person. And because Jesus died and rose again, we have hope. And if Jesus had never risen from the dead, then we have no hope. But he did. And because of that, we have hope. But we're also pointing to the story, to the road to Emmaus, where initially these two disciples, they didn't have any hope, but an engagement with Jesus Christ gave them new hope, gave them refreshed hope. So you see, the death of Jesus Christ shocked his disciples, all his disciples, and shattered their hopes and their dreams. But I want to take us back a little bit for us to try to recall. Just a week before, according to the Jewish customs, all the Jews from all over had arrived in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And then it was Palm Sunday, and on Palm Sunday, Jesus was loudly and publicly welcomed into Jerusalem by the crowds. And they were there waving palm leaves, all excited as if they were at a Taylor Swift concert, or maybe last night was another guy, I can't remember who. Bruno Mars, yes, Bruno Mars. They were more excited than that. So you see, they were heralding him as the king and the hope of Israel, to the extent that the authorities were a little bit uneasy. But we move on a week after that. After that exhilarating, triumphal entry, everybody was leaving Jerusalem and they were returning home. Many were in a state of trauma, having witnessed the unthinkable. Jesus had been beaten, crucified, and buried. And then on what we now know to be Resurrection Sunday, or commercially Easter, Jesus' followers, who had begun the week full of hope, full of expectation, they were now leaving town, leaving Jerusalem, thinking that Jesus and in him all their hopes for deliverance from oppression is dead. And who could blame them? So Jerusalem now became a place of pain, sorrow, and loss. It was a place of death, unmet expectations, and disappointment. The place of Jesus' arrest, torture, crucifixion, and death. The place where everything they had staked their lives upon, what they had hoped, their whole fruits in one basket or whole eggs in that basket was destroyed, was broken. Two of these disciples we know and mentioned was Cleopas and his companion, and maybe the companion was his wife, wanted to make sure that Cleopas took her mother-in-law home and not leave her behind. We don't know. Right? So although the resurrection had taken place, they had been informed of it by witnesses, Mary, John, Peter. They were so affected still by what happened 3 days ago that they didn't seem able to comprehend or understand the torture of Jesus and the death of Jesus. And one can surmise, or I can surmise, that they felt helpless, frustrated, disappointed, discouraged, confused, and left behind. And so they left on this long walk to Emmaus. Any place would be better than Jerusalem. They want to get away from this place that gives them, or does, that gives them not so good memories, that has caused turmoil in their emotions and in their mental state. It is the same with us when we are in that similar situation. And if we have been there, we had understand. Because no one likes to stay like that. I sure wouldn't. I don't want to be in a place where it reminds me of real challenges and all the not so good things. And I'm sure you wouldn't also. But I don't know why Emmaus was the choice. But I've known times when I just wanted to get away from one place and go to Emmaus. Any place would be better than where I was. So Cleopas and his friend walked the long road together. We know the last time they had seen Jesus, he was dead, he was gone. And as they walked, they talked. They talked about all the things that had happened. And I suspect also all the things that did not happen, like hopes that had not materialized, expectations left unmet, investments that paid no return. They thought Jesus was never coming back. I know that some of us do feel like that sometimes, maybe even now, maybe even early on in the day, or even been like that the past few days. So Emmaus becomes our escape from life, or we think it, not actually realizing that at that moment, Emmaus points us to a way back, that it points to a way back to life, just as the two travelers did not realize or know at that time. Because why? It was at that time that Jesus intercepted them and shared truth with them that slowly and surely restored them through the journey, awakening in them a hunger for life, for restoration, and for wholeness. You see, hunger is more than a physical sensation indicating a need for food. It is also spiritual and emotional. The hunger is surely the reason they strongly urge Jesus, stay with us, when he made as if to leave. Little did they know that the guests they invited to their table to be with them would be their host. Jesus would not only stay, but he would also feed them. That realization hit them as it does in the breaking of the bread. And so as we come to the table later, and each time we are reminded of Jesus' obedience to the cross, how his obedience to the cross helped to change us, helped to transform us, and help us to realize that we have life eternal. And so you see, it was for these two and for us an escape from a shattered life filled with despondency and brokenness that took the disciples to Emmaus. Jesus met them in this state and brought them into his community for restoration to wholeness through the breaking of bread. Coming together as a community. You are in Jesus' presence, but you are also in a community, just like here. We are in the community. Some of us identify ourselves as a community of E2, some E1, some SES. But we also need to realize that we are in a community of Christ Jesus. SGSM, we are blessed with many small communities. And one of the communities is Cell. Cell is where we go and share, we download. Cell is a place where we get prayed over, we prayed for. Cell is a place where we share our ups and our downs, because we know in that community is where we can be restored. Just like these two disciples, cell is a place where we share a meal after the gathering. And during that sharing of the meal, more personal, intimate stories or a sharing comes to light. And it makes us feel better because there is someone with us. Yes, Christ is with us every day. But we also need to be talking. We talk to Christ, but sometimes we feel comfortable to talk to one another because there is also that same attention. Our cell leaders are excellent. They are good. And I know that because I visited some cells and they are really, really good. They know the word. They are matured in the word. They share. They take time to come and feed us when we are hungry. And we are by nature hungry. We hunger for life, love, wholeness, community, meaning and purpose, even when there are doubts about our faith and our daily walk with Christ Jesus. He is by us. He leads us into His presence through the Holy Spirit. Cleopas and his companions, while walking, had doubts during their water walk, as we see in verse 11. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Despite the revelations of the witnesses, or as we say, the word is out, Jesus had risen. But it just seemed to be impossible for them to believe because they were most probably present when Jesus was scourged and they saw Jesus beaten, spat on, and maybe even saw him nailed on the cross and lifted into the air. And they would have shared with each other, "We saw him die, we saw him crucified. How can he come alive again?" And so, besides the doubts that they had, they were also deliberating about the truth. It says, and how Jesus, in drawing near to the two, he allowed their grief to be real. He allowed them to voice their sorrow and share it with them, as he does with us always. Here is the hospitality of Christ. Here we see he drew near to the two. He allowed them to air their grief. He allowed them to voice their sorrow and share it with him through his presence. He does not wait for them to come. He goes to them. Yet while going to them also, they did not recognize him. They were so focused on the turmoil of what was going on in their heart state, their body state, their emotion state, their mental state, that they didn't bother or they did not know who was with them. But Jesus, in his grace, was kind. He did not judge them, but he asked them to recount their story. Tell them how they feel. Tell him about what is going through in their hearts, in their minds. It is in the normal of their life that he meets them and he meets us. And it also reminds us there are days when our vision of Christ is hazy, is blurred, is not so clear, because we are so enmeshed, entrenched in what is going on in our own lives, in our hearts, in our minds, that we question or we barely want to believe, you know, let alone maybe attend worship services, you know. We feel all alone. We feel abandoned. We ask, "Where is God? Where are you?" Despite knowing that Christ is with us in our pain and in our sorrows. Despite knowing he is walking with us. Despite knowing that we do have leaders in this community to share with us, to hear us, to be praying with us. You know why? Because when we have all these emotions and the state that is going on, we are distracted from our focus from God, and we try to justify about why we are experiencing trials and troubles. But if we just look at the truth and quit and stop deliberating, we see that the reason is really ourselves. It is all in us because we are so focused on what is in us, what is up here, what is here, that we forget Christ is with us. Oh, church, Christ is the leader of the church. Turn to him. At every moment, every single time, we turn to him. Likewise, we have good leaders Turn to them. They are your listening ear. Some of the leaders are sat here. I know Steve Lowe is here. Angela is here. Dr. Kylie is here also. Who else? Agnes is here. These are the leaders who are willing to walk and journey with you. And so, come, approach them. You know? And so, like I said, you know, they were so trying to produce an explanation about Jesus' resurrection that they did not even realize he had joined them. Jesus takes this opportunity to set the two disciples straight. They needed to realize what the Bible really taught. And this is what I call discourse and disclosure. You know, a study of the scriptures, a real Bible study. Because to have this very man, this very person, the scriptures is centered around, walking beside us, walking next to them, and telling us, telling them why things had to happen. And how now we love to be there, in his presence. But we are in his presence, always. We can always turn to him. So you see here, a beautiful Bible study setting. Extremely beautiful setting. And so, what does Jesus do? He opens up all of the Bible to them. He showed them why the Messiah was to suffer and then enter into glory. It was a disclosure of both his person and the work of Jesus Christ. So we see the Old Testament contains not only the prophecies relating to him, because he holds all things together. The sacrifices, the construction of the tabernacle, which was a symbolic description of the person and the work of Jesus, who later was the living tabernacle, who became incarnate and dwelled and pitched his tent among us. He also taught them, I believe, in Exodus 12, the Passover. And it also talked through them, chapter 53, the suffering servant and all the other prophets. All, the whole scripture is pointing towards Jesus and is all about Jesus. And Jesus intellectually opened up the scriptures to these men walking to Emmaus from Genesis right through to Malachi. Bible study, more in a cell group kind of setting. How beautiful it is. The Bible ultimately is all about Jesus, as I have said, and it will always be. However, it saddens me to hear that one or two churches in Singapore are teaching that since we are people of the New Covenant, or we are people under Christ, or we are people of the New Testament, we can forget about the Old Testament. There is no relevance anymore. How sad. Page 1 to the end is all about Jesus. How can we not forget that the scripture points everything to him? So we pray that the right doctrines will be taught and the right directions will be taught. And that's why I'm glad that we have such good leaders here, ministry leaders, church leaders, cell leaders, all. And so what happens from the teaching? The result of the lessons about the scriptures, increase their desires, increase their wanting to know more. And so they extended hospitality. The same way Christ extended hospitality while coming close to them and listening to them, they in return extended hospitality. Because just as Jesus seems to leave, the disciples ask Jesus to stay with them, to be in their community now. Jesus wanted to stay with them, but he wanted to be invited in. It says, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is towards evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. He said he wanted to go, but he knew they were also wanting him to stay, but with his nature, it not to impose, he waited to be invited in, as you have, as we have invited Christ into our lives. And as we invite Christ into our lives, just like them, they wanted to hear more. What does Jesus do? He blesses this small act of generosity with the revelation of His presence. In the breaking of the bread, they at last recognized Him. In 31a. And their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, that it is their Lord who has all along been with them. When we offer hospitality, God uses it not only as a means of serving those in need of refreshment, but also an invitation for us, for ourselves, to experience Jesus' presence. And when we truly hear more about Jesus, we will want Him to stay with us as well, permanently, always. You see, we are easily distracted from moments of grace, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We can often focus on the bad and obsess with the negative. We can have our eyes cast down and fail to see the radiance of new life. And so, when Jesus was with them, He took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. The eyes were open and they recognized Him. And their eyes were open and they recognized Him. Are our eyes open? Always. To know that Jesus is by our side. And so they recognized Him as the one who they have left for dead in Jerusalem. They recognized Him as the one who had accompanied them on the road to Emmaus. They recognized Him as the one they had hoped He would be. So we are reminded Jesus wasn't giving them bread. He was giving them back themselves. This was their restoration. When Jesus broke the bread, something in them broke open. That breaking open put their lives back together, restored them, opened their eyes, renewed their feelings. Everything else dissipated. Likewise for us as well, we have experienced moments when our lives were broken open in ways we could never imagine or have done for ourselves. Despite how it feels, our brokenness is not an ending. There's more to it than what we see or we know. Not just brokenness, not just shattering, but a breaking open to new life, to new seeing, to new recognition, to new community, to the previous community, welcome, hospitality, grace, and love. That is why we gather around the table, always. Because Jesus fed them not just with bread, but with Himself. And as we come to the table, we are reminded He feeds us with His body, His life, His love, His compassion, His strength, His forgiveness, His hope, with all that He is and all that He has. Their life was restored in their being broken open. But as soon as they saw and recognized Jesus and was restored, He vanished from their sight. Poof, He was gone. Was He playing games with them, playing hide and seek? No, He was not. He was not abandoning them also. He was no longer before them because He was now within them. Jesus was the burning heart within them, and it had been there all along through the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit was present all this time. Their hearts might have been dulled, but the Spirit was already there, working to make God known through the revelation of Jesus Christ. At certain times, that burning is felt as brokenness or felt as hunger or being broken open. And at other times, as deep joy and gratitude. And with restoration, gratitude and joy. That same hour, they got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They wanted to be back with the community. They wanted to be back with the other disciples. They were restored. They returned to the place which they had to get away. They were compelled to return to their community of disciples because they wanted to strengthen not only the witnesses of the women, they and find out that Peter has had an encounter as well, which is not written in the Synoptic Gospels, but you can see it in John chapter 21, a little bit there. And together, instead of trying to make sense of all that is happening based on what they were expectations, they share with one another what they have experienced, what God has done. That was their experience. What do we experience daily that we can share with others? What is the goodness of God that we can share with others always? It is amazing what can take place as we gather at a table to share a meal, be it here, be it as a cell. You know, like I said, I've been invited to 2 or 3 cells. The meals are brilliant, better than what you pay for outside, you know. And I always hope I will get invited back. No chance. I'm hinting here, I'm hinting. Because at the meal is when we take not to be nourished by the physical food, but also time to nourish one another and accompanying others in life and faith. Eyes are open, hearts are converted, Jesus is revealed. Always. Jerusalem is not the place of death, it is also the place of life. It is not only a place of sorrow, but also a place of joy. It is not only a place of shattering, but also a place of restoration. Shattered lives, broken bread, restored lives. Jerusalem, Emmaus, Jerusalem. That seems to be a pattern, a beautiful pattern. And that also applies for us. Cell group, leaving cell group and coming back to cell groups have the same. No difference. Jerusalem, Emmaus, we are hurt. We can be hurt. We are human. That's a joke among the clergy brothers, as you know. If you ask, don't share. It's personal. The boss says no. So we are hurt in a cell group. We move on to Emmaus. We find time. We be in conversation still. We are restored. We come back again to Jerusalem. Come back to the cell. This is the community that supports us, that is with us. The leaders are doing the best that they can. The leaders are not at the Holy Spirit, actually. They cannot be at 10 places or in 10 houses at one time. But they can attend to you individually. That is the assurance I can give you. Your cell leaders, cell pastors, they can. You need to pick up the phone. They will be there for you, for us. Talking about community. So I said we are a community, we help each other. In the office we also have the community. So while preparing this message, or trying to, you know, I'm number one at PowerPoint, as you can see. It's brilliant, right? No, it is not me. I was struggling to do. And who comes along? Where is Shauna? Is Shauna around? Oh no, one of the youth interns who are with us, one of the 7 of them. He can say, Pastor, what are you doing? So boring, you know, no picture, no nothing. So I said, okay, you do for me. Yeah, tell me what you want to put. So I scripted it and put, and she came up with this PowerPoint slide. She drew it. These are all sketches of her hand. So I said, thank you, Shauna. Yeah. That is community, right? You have one another supporting. And of course, I was trying to rush through, trying to rearrange all my script in order. And who do I have? I have Annabelle. Is she around, Annabelle? Oh, there she is there. She proofreads for me. She just sequences. So I just sit there, oh, like Jesus, you know. No. No, please don't have that impression. So you see the pattern in the community. We are hurt, we move out of the community, we come back in. Jerusalem, Emmaus, Jerusalem. That's the pattern. But it's never as simple as it sounds. It's one thing to name the pattern, but another to live it. It takes time, it takes effort. It's not easy, it's painful. It means trusting that somehow the broken pieces of our lives will become our new pieces of life. Seeing and a new way of living. Do you see this pattern in your life? Have you experienced it? What is your Jerusalem today? Or are we still on the road to Emmaus? We still are, like I said, come speak to the leaders. They are here. Steve is busy taking pictures there. I see Angela is here. Who else? Agnes. I don't know people very well here. Half the time I'm in the nursing home, so I don't. That's my excuse. I shouldn't be. But come, have that pattern of hurt, restoration, and coming back to that place. At a place of sorrow and loss, or are we now heading to a place of life and restoration? So let me close with this. Jesus walked with the disciples. He went to them. And I also would like to encourage our leaders, go to the community, go to the people. They are waiting. People are not going to come to us. So Christ went to them and taught them about the Bible, which improved their spiritual well-being. And also we noticed this group on the road to Emmaus. It's a Bible study group, actually, where two or three are gathered. I'm in your midst, you know. But here was a small group. What does it tell us? Generally, Jesus' ministry was teaching with groups. That is the way of discipleship. Community was an integral part of Christ's community. The commitment to church is not really a choice. Relationships are bound up in the essence of faith. And with that, I come to the climax of it all. Next slide. Now you know why I've been talking about cells. For us who are still in cells, thank you. Continue to support. We have great leaders. For us who are not and new, please take your phone, scan that QR code. There are details there. Fill up the details. After that, you can go out. There's a booth. The cell leaders or the cell pastors, the zone pastors will be there at the concourse area to have a chat with you, to answer your questions. And those, the third, who have left and who have now overcome that road of to Emmaus, it's time to come back to Jerusalem. It's time to. And those of us, lastly, who are still on the road to Emmaus, get in touch with us. I will put you in touch with the leaders who will be in touch with you to journey, to walk, to care for you. They are here for that. Let us pray. Father, indeed, we thank you for your beautiful presence with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Also, for your presence with us. May it continue. Lord, we are so touched by the account of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, whose pain, whose sorrow was turned into joy when they met you on the way. And Lord, likewise, as we now surrender our pains, our hurts, our grief, our frustration to you, we know that you will turn it into joy for us. And continue, Lord, to teach us your word through one another. It builds up the one anotherness through the leaders that whom you have appointed and anointed, Lord. Open our eyes to see the wonderful things in your word. Help us to trust, Lord, in your greater plans and your purposes. And we also ask, Lord, may the road to Emmaus be a reminder that even when there are doubts that appear in our heart, you remain faithful to your promises. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, because we know that your love is bigger than anything else in this world. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.